Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tim Versalotti, let me start by asking you a series of questions. This is what we call the lightning round in our discussions. And so I'll ask you something and, you know, give it a minute or so, minute or two, and see what happens. Casinos in Massachusetts. Springfield is apparently going to get, where you are, is going to apparently get a casino. Is this a popular thing in Springfield?
It certainly was in July when the city's voters voted in the referendum as to whether to allow a casino in Springfield. It won by 16 percentage points. And the reason? Jobs. Simply put, the economic development benefits that are perceived with a casino coming in. The Massachusetts Gaming Commission won't make a final decision until the spring, but there are no competing proposals.
No, it's a sort of done deal. Sort of a done deal, right?
Yeah, and the background check on MGM came back in a favorable way, and so it would appear that Springfield is poised to get the one casino license for Western Massachusetts.
Let's now talk about the farm bill that's been languishing in Congress. Massachusetts has a lot of farms. New York has a lot of farms. What's the impetus to get this thing passed? Because if not, people could end up, for a lot of convoluted reasons, paying $8 a gallon for milk.
It's a huge piece of legislation. It's a five-year bill. There are two different versions of it pending. And the differences are on things like crop subsidies, but most important, funding for food stamps. And Republicans had pushed for a $40 billion cut.
That's a lot of money.
Stamp aid, a huge amount of money. There is a compromise version out there that would limit that cut to $8 billion in aid. And it's a very complicated piece of legislation because it's tied into fuel assistance in the states. And if you get fuel assistance, how much can you get in terms of food stamp benefits and things like that? So while ordinarily Democrats would say an $8 billion cut in food stamps, holy cow, it's a lot better than a $40 billion cut in that spending. And so there is this compromise version out there, and it's something that the Congress will absolutely have to take up in 2014. They can't avoid it. And I think in the spirit of the recent budget compromise, you'll see a deal worked out.
Huh. Let's talk about one of my favorite subjects, because it seems so surreal to me. Scott Brown, who, you know, got elected senator one time and forewent another campaign, is now he's going to move to New Hampshire, right next door, same media market and all the rest, and perhaps run for office there. What do you know about that?
Well, it's hard to boil this one down into a minute.
No, you can take two or maybe three. Go ahead.
Scott Brown and his wife, Gail Huff, a former TV news anchor in Boston, have sold their home in Wrentham. And Brown put out a statement about the sale and said simply, look, we've raised our children. We're empty nesters. We want to downsize. Hence, we're moving to New Hampshire. My family's had ties there for many, many years, and he has owned property there for some time. At the same time, he's been doing quite a few speaking engagements on behalf of the Republican Party in New Hampshire and raising money for the party. And so there's this expectation that he's positioning himself to run for the Senate in New Hampshire against Jean Shaheen, who's finishing up her first term as senator. She also served for three terms as governor of Massachusetts. I'm doing it.
Now you've done it, yes.
On one of Scott Brown's recent appearances in New Hampshire, he confused the two states. Some people argue that state border is very porous and it's all one place anyway. I think most of us would beg to differ, those of us who live in Massachusetts. But Brown is positioning himself. He's not the only former senator interested in the seat. Bob Smith, who served in the Senate from New Hampshire and then had moved to Florida and had run for Senate there, has said he's coming back to run for the Senate in New Hampshire as well. And so there would be a primary. There are a couple of other Republican candidates who've declared as well. Brown has a while to make up his mind. The New Hampshire filing period is not until early June. He has until June 13th to decide. The primary is not until September 9th. Brown is a very effective fundraiser. He could play it out and raise money very quickly should he decide in the spring to get in. I think at this point he's simply enjoying the attention and the mystery surrounding what he plans to do next.
Will he or won't he? Good point. Elizabeth Warren turns out to be a very popular politician among the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. And she's recently said she is not going to run for president. She's going to be a good senator. I think that was a wise decision because, you know, she's too far out there. What do you think?
I have been watching this with some interest, and we're seeing sort of year-end reviews of her first year in office. And she is absolutely adored. She is a rock star in the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. And as she showed in 2012, a very, very effective fundraiser. And she has been asked, and she has been as clear as a candidate can be to say, or a non-candidate to say, no, no, no. In fact, three no's, that she will not be running for the presidency in 2016. She wants to serve out her term in the Senate, which would run through 2018. It doesn't prevent progressives from dreaming.
Well, Mr. Pollster, could she win?
I don't think she could. I think she'd have a hard time. Now, let me say this. If Hillary Clinton sought the Democratic nomination again, no, I don't think Elizabeth Warren has a shot at the party's nomination. But even if the field was clear and Elizabeth Warren ran, although we've seen a first-term senator run and win before,
yes, we have.
In Barack Obama, I think the challenge for Elizabeth Warren is, while she's an effective fundraiser and the progressive wing loves her, she's got to prove herself in the Senate. And she while she improved as a campaigner in 2012, no doubt, it's still hard for her. She's not a Bill Clinton kind of campaigner where she can connect on an emotional level. She's much more still professorial in her demeanor on the campaign trail. I think it would be a tough slog. I think she realizes that she is more likely to be effective. Even as a first-term senator, she moves the discourse. She pushes policies out there. She's talked about expanding Social Security in an era when most candidates are talking about cutting Social Security. She recently signed on to legislation to try to make college more affordable and make universities more accountable in terms of financial aid packages for students. Even though as a freshman senator she has a hard time getting things done because she just doesn't have the seniority, she does have the bully pulpit, and she is able to shape the policy debate on the national stage. And that's not anything to sneeze at for someone who's only been in the Senate
for a
year. I think she sees realistically that's where she can have the most impact right now.
Okay, take a minute and 15 seconds on this question. The Democrats did the unthinkable. Then they revised the filibuster rules, the nuclear option. Do the American people like this or not?
I think generally the American people want to see things get done. I think the filibuster rule on nominees is somewhat arcane, and the average voter doesn't understand it, but the average voter will understand if the government gridlock slows down to the point where you see backlogs in terms of adjudicating cases or backlogs in terms of the bureaucracy, in terms of getting things done. And so I think in that regard, it's probably a plus for the Democrats. The minus, though, is that the rules and procedures of the Senate are still arcane enough that Republicans can find ways to slow things down. They may not be able to stop them, but they can slow things down. And we saw that in deliberations over some of the president's nominees right before the holiday break. And so while there has been some progress in terms of moving nominees through, the Republicans still have legislative tools at their disposal to at least slow things down, if not stop them.
Well, Tim Versalotti, you made it within the required time. Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll and professor of political science. And I have to say, boy, your students are lucky to have you as a teacher. That's all I got to say, Tim.
That's very kind. Thank you, Alan. I enjoyed talking with you.
It isn't kind. It's accurate. Tim Versalotti will be seeing you in the future. Thanks so much.